Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome, welcome to Education Currents. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we are talking about headlines in education. And I thought we'll just read a headline or a little excerpt from an article, and then we'll comment on it. So I'll let you go first, Dr. Tooley.
Okay. What we're looking at here, I've got a bunch of different ones here. I really want to start with this one. Right now in California, they have parents are homeschooling their kids to bypass the vaccine law. And that one has created quite a bit of a stir. The vaccine laws have created quite a bit of stir in the whole thing. And I don't want to take one side or the other on that one because that is such a hot button issue. But it's kind of interesting that I wonder what the impact will ultimately be for homeschool kids if this becomes something that the lawmakers get interested in. Will they then begin to attack the homeschool programs because the children are not getting vaccinated?
Yes. One of the headlines that go along with that is the researcher who first said, hey, there's a correlation between the increase in autism and other ailments and the way we're vaccinating our children. He was just recently murdered. So I don't know if that feeds into a conspiracy theory or not. I have no idea, but it certainly causes me to pause and think.
I know that with I have seen children who have come out of vaccine situations different than when they went into it, but I don't know if that outweighs the benefits of the vaccines in terms of keeping some of these deadly diseases at bay.
Yes. Okay, well then, the next headline that I want to talk about, I'm going to read the headline, and it says, and this is from January 2019, European court rules against the German homeschooling family. And we've talked about this homeschooling family before. We talked about it when it first happened in 2013. In fact, it was August 29, 2013, and 40 officials came and stood by the door of their home. They say it was the most horrible day for them. The authorities had been contacted by the neighbors who claimed that Dirk had said that he would rather kill his children than send them to school. And Dirk says that was totally nonsense, that the accusations were invented. Their children were taken away from them for 3 weeks, and then they were returned. Now, both the parents, Dirk and Petra, have graduated from high school, but they are not necessarily college graduates. He just felt like the school had changed so much from his day and age that he wanted his children to stay at home and do homeschool. So now they've had their children with them, but the high courts have come back and found that the authorities have not violated the parental rights of the Wunderlich family by forcing their children to attend school, because the children, you know, were forced to attend school. Homeschooling has been illegal in Germany since 1919. So, you know, we can be thankful for what we have here in the United States.
Yeah, it is a hot topic, the idea of homeschooling. And where does the parents' rights to their own children end and the state's rights begin? That's really at the heart of that question.
Yes.
And right now we can be thankful that in the United States we recognize that parents have, by and large, the responsibility for their children.
Okay, here's another headline. Students leading the conversation on gun control. Here in the United States, As of November of last year, there's been more than 94 gun violence incidences at school, at schools. Highest number so far to date. So 1 million students led a protest. Do you really think that these protests, they titled their protest March for Our Lives. Do you really think these protests do any good? I mean, it's something we do here in America quite a bit. Do these protests do any good?
I think the protests are healthy to have. I would rather have protests than no protests. I mean, the alternative of no protests is pretty bleak. It means that there is some force that is preventing people from being willing to speak out. However, having said that, the protest that they're having has implications for the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which needs to be discussed, should be discussed dispassionately. Unfortunately, it becomes a very passionate subject for people. And with the number of gun violence issues that are going on, those are the ones that make the news. The violence that happens without guns doesn't make the news. So I think that we get with news anymore, we get this loaded up view of things that is probably more condensed than life is really in the United States.
Okay.
So I have one here. This one is kind of interesting. This shows what's happening as a result of social media, or what social media makes happening. This one says Tom Brady shamed for irresponsible cliff diving with his daughter, 6. Mm. That's from USA Today. So Tom Brady is ripped for cliff diving with a young daughter. And basically what they were is on vacation in Costa Rica, and they jumped off of this, what they're trying to call a cliff, which was basically probably 10 feet in the air into the water. Now, the question that comes out of it, everyone is either saying that he is an irresponsible parent, or they're saying, yeah, you go, because it's good for your daughter to experience that kind of thing. So that's something now that comes up in a debate on several different levels. How does social media affect people's lives? And not only that, if something like that is seen, is in the wrong situation, would he be considered criminal in what he was doing with his kids? And then should social media even be commenting on that? Should people even be commenting on that or talking about it or shaming someone who does that?
Well, I mean, this is an example of the power of social media and how careful you should be. I really think you should always protect the actions of minors, and you're dealing with minors on social media, because it can be misinterpreted. I mean, I'm here to tell you, Richard, if we had filmed half the things you did growing up, with Dad, I'm sure you would have a backlash too, because, you know, parents like to have their children experience some of the thrilling things that you get. You would certainly get a thrill if you're jumping off a cliff or jumping off a diving board even. Those are all terrifying things to me, but you seem to relish them.
You know, I see those kinds of things actually as part of the process of building critical thinking skills, because we can teach the mechanics of critical thinking, but it's the headroom that someone has through the experiences they have.
Yes.
that really polishes and hones and shapes critical thinking. So I think it can be beneficial as long as it's kept within normal for whatever the parent thinks they can handle. Now, in the case of Tom Brady, he is a elite level athlete, so I'm sure that he could take care of his own child in just about any of those kinds of situations.
Yes, it's unfortunate. Well, I would like to talk about the headline that was on a recent recently happened in my area, and I saw the news clip on WJLA, but it became ABC also picked it up, and it was this mother who was worried about her special needs child, and so she put a listening device in the child's hair clip and sent her to school. And when she got, you know, was able, after the child came home that day and listened to the clip, she was shocked, literally shocked at what she heard. Now, we have to take a break right here, but I hope when we come back to fill you in on this headline. It was very interesting. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hannah, you about ready for bed?
Mom, I'm mad.
At whom?
God. Do you think he minds?
He's probably used to it. What's the problem?
The fall festival banquet at school is just 2 days away, and I'm catching a cold. I know I am because my head hurts and my throat feels like I swallowed sandpaper.
Oh, dear. Let me make you some warm herbal tea.
Mom, I prayed and asked God to help me not be sick this year like I was last year. But did he hear me? No.
Wait a minute. Didn't you go to school without your jacket yesterday?
I hate my jacket. Nobody wears that style anymore.
And didn't I see you eating ice cream and cake 2 nights in a row before you went to bed?
Mom, I'm a growing girl. I need nourishment.
And didn't I remind you to wash your hands after we came back from shopping on Monday?
Hey, I hadn't been playing in the dirt.
No, but you had been pushing a shopping cart where I told you flu viruses love to wait for their next victim.
So God isn't powerful enough to protect me from cold winds, ice cream, and shopping carts?
He sure is. He's also loving enough not to interfere when we do dumb things that make us sick. He gives us freedom, but he doesn't reward us when we choose to do what we know can do us harm. Prayer is a two-way street. We have to do our part.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I didn't do my part.
Well, I'm going to do mine. You just lay back and I'll bring you some tea. And you might want to thank God for allowing you the freedom to learn from your mistakes.
Thanks, Mom.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we're talking about headlines in education. And I was talking prior to the break about the story that happened in Martinsburg, West Virginia, not too long ago. So this mother had put this listening device in her child's hair. Her daughter was autistic, a high-functioning autistic child, and so she was in a special ed class. And the things that she heard on the recording when the child came home absolutely appalled her. It was things, it picked up things that were said to the other special needs children too, like, you know, you're not going to get any snack. You don't deserve any snack. And then you would hear the child nonverbal. This particular child was a nonverbal autistic going, and then you would hear the teacher or the aide. There was a teacher and two aides going back, you know, like mimicking and mocking these special needs children. And so it wasn't just her daughter, but she was hearing it against all of the little kids in there. And so she took it to the authority, you know, she took it to the school, and the school did nothing at first. But the latest, they had a special board meeting finally a few weeks later, and the teacher resigned and the aides resigned. But the big thing that came out of this was now there's a ruling in West Virginia that all of the special needs classrooms have cameras in the classroom. So What do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea to have the cameras in the classroom. There's no question about that. So working back from there, I think it's a very sad situation that you would have a classroom where you have professional educators who you would think were professional educators, not educating professionally. And the unfortunate upshot of that is that it causes parents to lose trust in their teachers. And I think that's a very bad situation. So if teachers are not trustworthy, then it makes every parent say, well, is my teacher trustworthy? Are the teachers who are teaching my kids trustworthy? And I think that's a dangerous thing that they did there for all teachers. But I think, you know, they now have police officers wearing cameras on them, body cameras. And I think it's a very smart idea to have cameras in the classroom, not only cameras, but audio recordings going on in the classroom. Because in the end of the day, there are those who will make accusations without having any proof. And so the camera works both ways. It protects the teacher and it also protects the students.
Yeah, I see it as a two-edged sword in the sense that, you know, we're working with minors, and in this digital world, you know, if things are hacked or whatever, you know, you're exposing, there's a potential for exposing things that you might not want exposed. You know, you're like a parent might not want their child's, and this, of course, is someone who would be a predator, that being able to follow their child into the classroom and viewing them, and, you know, voyeurism.
So right. That, I think there's a solution for that, and that is if there are cameras in the classroom that are statically mounted cameras in the classroom, they should feed back to a system that is not in any way connected to the internet.
Yeah.
And then those files remain secure with just the school. And they can be used to take care of questions like this so that they can show what's going on in the classroom. And I think it would be a good process that every teacher knows and every parent knows that those films are at least reviewed on a periodic basis with sampling, if not always reviewed. But, you know, you can't review an 8-hour day's worth of film, but you should periodically be able to sample and see what's coming up. And then if a question comes from the parents, you should be able to pull out the tape.
Well, I know I have a turtle cam for my turtles, and I enjoy watching my turtles. And I wonder, you know, wouldn't parents enjoy being able to just look in on their kids? You know, what harm would that be? What harm? I know as an educator, I would be totally transparent and open to parents being able to check in at any point with, you know, by viewing. I don't think they would ever catch me doing anything that I would be embarrassed about. I mean, unless I'm acting silly with the students or something like that. So I'm pro camera in the classroom too.
Yeah, I would have cameras in the classroom, but I would in no way would I let that feed be something that the parents could get outside of the classroom. If they want to come in and see their kids and come in and see the film in the school, that's fine. But the opportunity for predators to be able to hack the system, it's a risk I don't think I'd be willing to take. All right, I got one here. There is a study now that says, this is from U.S. News and World Report. Study says, stay in school to skip heart disease. So This study says, since the state laws have been mandating education for U.S. children took root well over a century ago to protect child welfare, a new study suggests such policies improved American health as well. So the reduction in heart disease, they have some statistics. They said a study of about 31,000 participants. About a third of those studied overall didn't graduate from high school. And in a cohort of about 31,000 participants, about 35% had heart disease. Yet every additional year of mandatory school through high school was associated with a 2.5% decrease in cardiovascular condition, according to the study, as well as a roughly 3% decline in smoking and a nearly 5% decline in depression. So those are some interesting things. I don't know if it's simply attributable to them being in mandatorily in school systems, but I think it would apply also to a homeschool situation where the homeschoolers are receiving really good hands-on education. As a matter of fact, I would venture to guess that the reduction in heart disease and cardiovascular condition would be far better among homeschoolers in a way, because the parents tend to not let their kids smoke in their house.
Yes. Yes. And it is less stressful if you, well, I shouldn't say that because I have quite a few homeschooling families that it is very stressful. They are just having a struggle, but overall, homeschooling families don't have the stress. You don't have the get up. You're going to be late for the bus. Here's your lunch. Oh, you didn't have time for breakfast. Go. You know, then you get to school and it's perform. And maybe someone is, making some jabs at you. So now you're not sure about that. And so the adrenaline's really pumping. The flight or fight hormones are all churning. And I'm sure that contributes. So, overall, to the general health of you as a child and as you grow into adulthood, you know, if you're forced to stay in a school situation that's hostile, then you think that's how it should be, and you easily are conditioned then to be in a hostile environment in your work environment. And, anyway, you know, it can even go to that, to an institutionalized situation. So, yes. I think that God created us to learn, and I think the learning does good things physically for us, not just emotionally or academically, but I think physically learning does something for us. I think it's a very interesting study. I can't imagine how someone came up with that to study in the first place, or if they were studying something else and that just, you know, that happens. You have a research project and then some surprise comes out of it. Maybe this was the surprise.
Yeah, they did this study from clear back to 1918 when this started happening.
Yeah, so it's a longitudinal study.
Yeah.
I mean, once they discovered it, then they probably just made that the next. Because every educator has a research agenda, whether they formalize it or not, but they learn something and then that promotes them to learn something else and to want to know something else. So maybe they did, you know, something initially and then go, wow, and just started making that, you know, a bigger study. And it would be great if they did include homeschooled students, because in other indicators like standardized tests and stuff, homeschooling families as a whole do better than schooled children. So there you have it, guys. Our headline show is running out. It's come to the end, and we're so happy you've spent this time with us. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.